guests. If it's okay with everybody, I'll call the meeting to order. And first with a roll call. Ready, got everybody?
Maybe just go through everyone. Mike, just for a record, I'm recording here.
Okay, Jim Wheeler?
Here.
Heather?
Here.
Becky?
Here.
Donna?
Here.
Matthew?
Here.
And trustee is Penny Dart is excused, and Elizabeth? I see on there, so you gotta be here.
I keep on muting is my problem.
I do the same thing, so it looks like we're pretty well set then. So the second thing on the agenda is to adopt or modify the proposed agenda as presented. So unless I hear something different, we'll need a motion to adopt it.
I'll make a motion to adopt. North.
I'll second.
Okay, Trevor, I assume you're taking notes.
I am, yes.
Okay, so we got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next, number three is the minutes from the August 24th meeting. So I guess first I'll ask if there's any modifications or changes that anybody has. I did personally see one little typo. I don't know if you're in for that, but on the second page where you talk about Ben and Deanna, it says Ben Bartolaza and Deanna Ashman, blah, 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 real estate was. I think it should be word present.
Mm. Okay.
And then the second question I have with respect to it is on the last page regarding the village projects and property update. It talks about the new zoning code was approved and adopted, so that's the code in general. That was not any zoning changes for any of the parcels. That was the basic code, right?
Correct.
Remember, all right.
Yes.
All right, so those are only my questions or comments. So if there are no others, then we'll have a motion to approve the minutes from the August 24th, 2020 meeting. So do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt minutes.
I'll second.
All right, Donna and then Becky. Okay, yeah. If there's no other comments, then all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. All right, number four, announcements. Trevor, we'll start with you. I don't have any, but you generally have some.
The only announcement I have planned for tonight is just a general announcement for all Alloway residents. We're picking up garbage on Thursday this week, so if your garbage day is Thursday, you do not have to change your plans. So.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Brad?
The only other thing I would say is we'll be patiently waiting to see what the stimulus package is and how it will affect our businesses, so the PPP.
Good luck with that. Any other announcements? Okay. Hearing none. Number five, public appearances. Do we have any?
No.
Nobody on? Okay. Number six, housing reports. A, housing affordability report. Trevor?
Yes. Would it be beneficial if I shared my screen for everyone? All right. Let's see. What I have two screens open, so are you able to see the report? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, similar to last year, nothing's really changed. This is a mandatory report. The second year we have done this report. And similar to what I expressed last year, the main intent for this report is aimed at communities much larger than ours and growing at a much more rapid pace. And the intent is really how to bring down the cost of development. With us and the scale of development we see, we really don't have a lot of development take place. Last year we had 23 total units. This year we had 6 total units. That includes all residential, so multifamily, duplex, single, any condo units. And so as you can see on page 5 of the report, kind of breaks it down by summary. Last year, the percent of the building permit fees made of the total estimated construction cost to the project was 0.5%. This year it's down from that to 0.32%. So really what we're charging the developers or builders is really negligible. And part of the requirements for this was trying to ask communities to decrease development costs by 20%. And it's just, we run a pretty lean operation and it's just not possible. So as much as I hate to say that I spend time on things that aren't really relevant, I think this is one of the things that the state requires us to do that I will be open about saying it's not relevant to Alloway. So yes, I'm absolutely open to any questions you might have, but that's about the gist of it.
Trevor, I have, this is Mike, I have one question. I'm a little bit confused as to whether this is 2020, 2019, or 2018.
Said
this year, last year, this year is 2020. Is the dates in here, are these correct? Like on page 4, it says residential platting building permit activity in 2019.
Yeah.
2020.
So it's, it's confusing because how, and I was actually going to change how I do this next year. So when we first did this was at the end of last year, and it was supposed to be for the activity that occurred in 2018. So this year it's reflective of the activity that took place in 2019. I was planning on bringing this back to you and doing a 2020 report in January or February of next year, just to make it a little bit more understanding that way. I honestly forgot all about this until about a month ago that we were supposed to update these reports. So I think moving forward, this will just be something that you'll see in January or February of every year.
Sounds perfect.
This is Becky. I just have one comment. I was very excited when it said affordability of new housing, and I was hoping that it was saying something like Alloway is encouraging developers to develop affordable housing. But not, and then I read through it and went, oh, shoot, it's just about fees, the less the fees are, the more affordable the housing is going to be, and builder pass the fees along. But I was just hoping it was something that that pointed out ways that we encourage affordable housing. But we just need to keep track of that at the Planning Commission as kind of, at least that's one of my goals, is to encourage more, starter homes and more apartments that are more affordable. Because we just have a lack of that in Brown County altogether.
Agreed. and I'm sorry, I'm just writing notes, but I forget if it's this report or if it's the second report on tonight's agenda, but I do talk about just real briefly about our zoning code and how that's one small thing that we can do right now is allow for smaller setbacks, which translates to smaller amounts of laterals that are needed. So, I mean, still in the grand scheme of things, if for an example, if you're spending $250,000 on a home, renting the laterals to your house, you're probably looking at, I don't know, $5,000, I would think. Brad, correct me if I'm wrong. But in the grand scheme of things, that's not terrible amounts. And if you decrease your setbacks by a little bit, that minimizes that cost. But I think the overall challenge right now, at least in today's climate, is the lack of labor and the shortage of building supply, and then the increased demand for that building supply. Those are two things that I keep hearing from a lot of developers that it's a challenge. But yes, certainly we want to try and encourage affordable housing where we can.
Any other questions or comments? I assume we should be approving this, Trevor?
Yes, please.
Okay. So if there are no other comments or questions, then we would need a motion to approve the as it be considered the Housing Affordability Report 2020 or 2019?
2019.
It should be 2019, I guess.
Okay. So we'll leave it at that. Just say we need a motion to approve the Housing Affordability Report.
Motion to approve the Housing Affordability Report.
I'll second that. It's Matthew. Okay. A motion and a second. Any other discussion? If none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carried. Okay, Trevor, Part B, New Housing Fee Report.
All right, this is part of the same act. And are you still able to see my screen?
Yep.
This is part of the same act that required the first report. This report has a little bit more teeth to it because if we do not comply with this section of the report, we are not able to charge the fees that we do charge. So, and this has to be posted specifically in specific parts on our website and labeled in such a way that it's easily accessible. And so, a lot of this kind of follows the same discussion from the previous report. Again, it asks for us to break down the cost per unit. But how it does that is it asks for the cost for all remodels, but then it asks you to divide that by the number of new units. And so if we're looking at all remodel costs, then we should also be looking at each project as separate. So like in this case, there were 6 new units brought online, but there's 161 different properties that were improved over the course of the year. So, obviously, if you change that number, you get two different price. So, the total cost per unit, the way the state wants us to do it, it comes out to $28 per unit. But in actuality, if you include all the units, it's actually only $109 per unit. if that makes sense to everyone.
Well, I have a question. So the cost per unit, you said there were 6 new units. Does that mean that there were 6 new projects or 6 new apartments or 6 new duplexes, single-family homes?
Yep.
Kind of what is that?
That includes 2 new homes and 4 condo units. Four of the condo units were down on the Old River Court, down on Riverside Drive. And then I believe the 2 homes might have been on, one might have been on Martha, and the other one I believe might be on River Lane.
So that project on the corner of St. Joseph's and Riverside Drive across from me is those apartment buildings, that was all 2018?
Correct. At least the permit was taken out in 2018. It was completed in 2019, but how we were tracking is we're going off of when the permit was taken out. And so that final unit was 12 units, and so that made up a part of that 23 units from 2018.
I have one. Have you ever seen reports from anybody else that you can glean anything off of?
I've seen Eshwabanans. Ours are pretty similar. They are obviously facing a similar challenge that we are, where they have limited room to grow. I have not seen the city of Green Bay's or the city of De Pere's. Bellevue, last I was looking, I couldn't find. A lot of municipalities down in the valley actually collectively did one together. And so theirs is different. And then down near Milwaukee, theirs is, you know, 30 pages long or more.
Is there anywhere you can go that you can look at a number of municipalities and compare this stuff, or is it of no value?
There's no one website to. I'd have to go to each municipality's website and search for it.
Okay, and maybe it's a dumb question, but is there a reason why, other than the act, is there a reason why they're doing this? What, is there a benefit somewhere that we know about?
Not that I know of. I mean, I think in the planner world, this was not something any of us were excited about doing. And so I'm going to come at this pretty biased, I guess, but I trying to see the benefit to it, from what I've been able to gather from discussions I've had with, the Realtors Association, which they're a big lobbying firm that pushed for this requirement. It was to try and identify and make clear what fees are actually out there and to try and lower those fees. And why? I'm only assuming that there might have been some situations where municipalities were charging, in someone's view, a exorbitant amount in fees, or we're coming up with hidden fees or something like that. I don't believe the Village of Alloway is doing that, but I'm not naive. I believe that probably took place somewhere, because, you know, otherwise we wouldn't have to do this exercise. But
like you said, right now this is a minor cost compared to everything else.
Right.
Okay, any other questions or comments? If not, motion to approve the new housing fee report, and I would assume this is for 2020, or is it 2019 also?
This is 2019 as well.
Okay. So motion to approve the new housing fee report 2019.
Moved, Nor.
Okay, we got a motion to approve it. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Number seven, report and discussion on the 2018 Webster Avenue streetscape and conceptual plan by Somerville Architects and Engineers. Property at 1905 South Webster Avenue. A lot of nice drawings, Trevor.
Yes, and I apologize. I didn't include this initially in the on the website or anything because I forgot we have new members. But this was something that was done in 2018. It was kind of a next step from the corridor study that was done in 2015, and it was really trying to look at one of the key areas that identified in that corridor study, which is Webster and St. Joseph, and put together more of a game plan on how to redevelop the site. So the plan led by Somerville was we involved all the key stakeholders in the area, all the key property owners, and really wanted to identify what is available for redevelopment and then take a look at what our comprehensive plan says and the other community outreach plans that were done recently and really incorporate that into a vision. So there's a number of exercises that we went through and eventually came up with a sketch of a conceptual plan of what's on the screen in front of you. And I guess a lot of it's mixed use development. And a lot of it's, I guess, conceptually based, obviously, but it really, again, took a look at what was available at the time. You know, these properties were for sale. We had a hunch that this was going to become for sale fairly soon. You know, we had a discussion with Bellin on what they would like to see or what they could happen there. They have long-term plans to stay in this building, so but they were okay with maybe a small outlot or building up here. So really just taking a look at what could happen. And then the best part is they were able to come up with good visuals to help kind of sell this when talking to developers and to really understand what could be up there and have a goal for that. So I'll go through a couple of these just slowly for you to look at. And again, I know we've gone through this before at previous meetings, but I guess the intention for bringing it back to the Planning Commission tonight was because since August, we haven't had a meeting since August, and in August, the village purchased one of these properties to kind of move forward with development plans in this area. And so, being that this was a more recent planning document, I just really wanted to have a discussion tonight and And as we're meeting with developers and what the committee or what the planning commission would like to see is this still kind of relevant? I'm operating under the assumption it is, but again, this was from a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and really just wanted to have a general discussion tonight was, again, my hope. So, anything that is proposed for this site, which is the site that we purchased, will come before the Plan Commission through a site plan review. But obviously, there's always some preliminary discussions among staff, and as we're working through what the zoning code says and that sort of thing, just want to be as proactive as I can. So.
Trevor, this is Becky. I have a question. I know McDonald's had come to us with plans to remodel.
Yes.
Has that been pushed back because of the pandemic, because they're using their drive-thru so much, or do you know if they are still planning on doing anything, because I know nothing's been done?
Very good question. Part of the requirement to move forward with their project was contingent on them presenting the village with a perpetual easement agreement. And maybe I can pull up site. So the village purchased these two lots here, and before we owned this, when McDonald's first came through, this was owned by a private entity, and so one of the requirements was to present to the village a some sort of perpetual easement to use this area as their drive-through. So that in the future, you know, again, at the time, not knowing that the village was going to be the ones taking ownership of that, but in the future that does not become an issue of use down the road. So McDonald's started that discussion, I believe, with the previous property owners and trying to get a perpetual easement. There was something there, but it was never recorded. And so now, since we've purchased it, we are taking on that discussion. And so hopefully things can then move forward a little bit quicker for that project. And I know when I last spoke with McDonald's, they were hoping to start their project in 2021. So, long answer for maybe a short, or long reason for a short answer. But.
Okay.
This is Matthew. So with the property that the village has purchased, are there any details to share on developer interest? I don't know if you can be specific or not, but can you talk in general terms about what interest there has been or what possibilities there are?
Sure. I guess we've received quite a bit of interest, especially initially in August when there's a news story about it. And some of them, I guess, were more or less wanting to do similar to what's there. And again, kind of going back to this plan of what was presented by Somerville, our direction we gave was that we would like to see more a mixed-use development there. And so that's kind of been our consistent message. So there's some that initially wanted to kind of do something similar to what's already there, but then others that were very much interested in doing a mixed-use development. And so it's, I guess, we're in dialogue with some parties interested in doing a mixed-use development. There's been no formal site plan or anything submitted at this point. Yeah, so that's I guess, another reason why we'd like to get the Planning Commission's input tonight is I just don't want to go too far down one road and not be consistent with what the Planning Commission's goals are.
Or hope that this could be a mixed-use development, because right now it just, I mean, the building in that sits in that parcel is, you know, it's back away from the road, and it kind of, it looks like a shrunken building, it looks like a parking lot wasteland half the time, and I mean, that's not the intent of the village. We want that area specifically to be more walkable and more pedestrian-friendly, and to have more light there, and I mean, really having that parking lot right on that, you know, main corner is just kind of an eyesore, you know, to sort of have a more mixed-use people to bring, you know, bring people there who live there, and it can be, you know, more walkable because they could walk down to, like, Zamboli or, you know, the new Gallagher's when they move down there. I think that would be just a fantastic place. Plus that they have, you know, access down to St. Joseph's to get down to the trail. So I think moving forward with some type of mixed-use development on that site is the right way to go.
I agree with that.
I agree also. Yep, 100%. I mean, that's kind of like part of the downtown area for the village, so it would be nice to get that out of there. I'd love to see some ideas from some of these developers.
Does the village plan to tear the building down once Gallagher moves out, or are the other tenants going to leave too? Does the village plan to tear the building down and present it as a blank slate for a developer?
I think before we tear it down, or before anyone tears the building down, we would like to have some sort of agreement in place with the developer, just ensuring something's moving forward.
Okay.
And out of all fairness, we've tried to remain as open as possible with the tenants that are there, and just made them aware that, look, we now own the building. I went and spoke with all the tenants the day we closed on the property, and made them aware that, look, we own the building. This is what the conceptual plan shows for the site. This is what the village's intentions are for the site. It likely includes tearing the building down. So they all been made aware of that. Came to some surprise to a few of the tenants, but a lot of them had seen the conceptual plans before. So,
well, I would think with building a building up on, like, doing a mixed use and having it up on the road, you can actually phase it too. So if there's tenants that live today, you know, the section, phase it, and then move them, and then you can tear it down.
Yeah, and that's certainly something too. We don't want to. We had this discussion. Should we? How proactive should we be with getting the site ready? And if we could maybe phase the project and transfer the tenants into a new building, that would be ideal. So we're excited for the project. We just trying to be patient too here a little bit, but which is hard.
Any other comments?
So I guess to summarize, and generally the Planning Commission feels like this document's still very much relevant, and to, with discussions with any potential developers, encourage mixed use that sort of thing. Okay.
Yes,
I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
That's probably a good idea until somebody comes in with a multi-million-dollar project that doesn't match our desire. But let's wait for that to happen. I don't know if they'd get any lumber to build it or not anymore.
Right.
Okay. Anything else on the Somerville plan and the 1905 South Webster? It'd be great to have it. Turn out that way. The only thing is it's tough to get the first one to do it.
Yes.
If there was something there already, it'd be, oh yeah, that's what you want, and everybody would join in. But it's going to be tough. Right?
Yep.
Okay. Number 8. Report and discussion on any village projects or properties update. I know Trevor or Brad was going to do that.
Brad did ask if I would share a quick video relating to GBCI. If that's okay with everyone?
Sure.
Brad, I don't know, while I'm getting it ready, if you want to give a little background to where we're at with.
Yes, we continue to have discussions with the state about the closure of GBCI. Box 11, one of the news stations locally that is very in tune as to what's going on, and certainly support that measure. And with David, Representative Steffen's continuous pursuit, we seem to be getting a little bit closer. So there was a study that was released or commissioned in 2009, the feasibility study, that indicated that if there was so much need to GBCI, that's the thing to do, most likely be to decommission it. That in 2018, additional funds were put back into state budget to do the same study for the most part again. That study was to be released. It wasn't released. Representative Steffen issued an open records request. And finally, it was released, and that's what Box 11 ended up doing, a news piece on the release of that study and what the study says. So I thought it was very appropriate to share that with the commission, as hopefully, as the commission and the village will be working on this project in hopefully the near future.
All right. Hey, everyone, see my screen again?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I can see it.
Governor Tony Seaver says he isn't sure what the future holds for Green Bay Correctional Institution.
A new report indicates the 122-year-old facility should be shut down. Fox 11's Ben Krumholz brings us balanced news coverage.
Can you guys see
this?
No, I'm not getting the audio.
Okay. None at all?
No.
Okay. Never shared a video before, so anyone have any tips? I guess I had assumed it would be the same thing, but
share video, is there a share audio too, maybe?
Video settings.
Lower right hand settings.
Let's see.
Not getting anything there. No.
All All right. What maybe I might do is we can turn the closed captions on, I think. All right.
Governor Tony Evers says he isn't sure what the future holds for Green Bay Correctional Institution.
A new report indicates the 122-year-old facility should be shut down. Fox 11's Ben Krumholz brings us balanced news coverage. Two taxpayer-funded studies, 11 years apart, have come to similar conclusions for Green Bay Correctional Institution.
It is beyond debate at this point. GBCI needs to be closed.
For the past 5 years, Republican State Representative David Steffen has been leading the charge to close the maximum security prison.
The main findings of this most recent report is that facility is beyond repair. It is has failed all five of the major building code and construction codes relating to prisons.
The $600,000 study provides three options that could help close the prison. Proposed expansions to Dodge and Fox Lake prisons would each cost well over $300 million. Steffen prefers the option of relocating Green Bay's inmates to Stanley Correctional, which would convert to a max security prison. Stanley's inmates and others would also be relocated, along with two minimum security prisons likely being built near Milwaukee. Steffen says that option is more cost-effective and will take less time than his original proposal of building a new maximum security prison in our area.
To be honest, there's a lot of groups who have been very much opposed to the idea of having a brand new maximum security facility built.
Many believe that we need to take a look at how many people we have in those institutions.
Governor Tony Evers is expected to unveil his two-year budget in February.
What do you believe is the best solution for the prison, and do you have any plans to address it in your next budget?
Yeah, we will be looking at all options. There's no question about it. But the most important thing, yes, we have to look at facilities, but we also have to look at the whole issue of criminal justice reform. Are we putting people in prison when it would be much better to make sure that they get the help they need instead of going to prison?
The fact that this report took 3 years to develop, and it took my office threatening to take Department of Corrections to court to get the report, seems to indicate to me that they're hesitant to make a big decision and show leadership on this issue.
If a solution is found, new development could offset the 368 jobs lost at the prison. A 2018 study concluded redeveloping the prison site could create 1,000 new jobs and at least $1 million annually for property taxes. In Alloway, Ben Crumples, Fox 11 News.
In 1990, the prison was added to the national and state registries for historic places. If it is eventually redeveloped, parts of the facility would need to be maintained because of those designations.
So I'm not sure how much of that you're able to follow on closed caption. I will certainly email that out to the group after the meeting, and we can watch. But it kind of said a lot of the same information Brad shared. The report suggested that the inmates be moved to Stanley, which was built as maximum security prison, and then two new medium security prisons be built down in Milwaukee. And so then GBCI would be decommissioned, and one of the initial plans brought forward by Representative Steffens early on was to then build a new maximum security prison in this area. So I guess the difference now is that study does not suggest doing that, just decommissioning GBCI.
For some nighttime reading, which might take you a month to read because it's like 600 pages. We can certainly send that over to you as well. This report that Trevor, we read, was just on the news last night. So this is very current. It was interesting or exciting, at least, that they had the governor make comments on it today. So with the budget coming up for the governor and for the state, we certainly wanted to make sure that this is at the forefront. And that was the timing for Representative Steffen to really push for the release. So if you have an interest in that full document that talks about all the prisons in the state, I can certainly get that over to you as well.
I'm really glad that they were looking at, rather than building a new prison, they really need to look at the system. And we just have, for our population, we have way too many people in prison, and that it really needs to be reformed and looked at. But similar states like Minnesota have like half the people in prison that we have in Wisconsin. It's just so expensive and not good for the people who are in prison. So really, I would hope that we can encourage really to take a good look at not even, you know, building new facilities, but just figure out a way to get the prisoners out of there altogether.
I'm still a little dizzy from trying to read that.
I apologize for that.
We'll have to practice that tomorrow just to see if we can figure that out.
Yeah.
I practice it every night when my wife tells me to turn the sound off. And just leave it.
Halloway was spelled.
Yeah, Halloway.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Inadequate.
Anything else for projects or properties? That was good. All right, if nothing, then remember, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Trevor, the daycare is up and operating.
Yep.
Under Derby and Webster. It's like a very nice building. Looking forward to getting into it someday.
You're old, aren't you?
Well, I think my wife thinks I need daycare. Beth, no comments.
Okay.
And the second phase of that project or property is being, it's under construction now. I think they've done all the footings at this point, Trevor, and some of the plumbing has been brought into the property.
Yes.
Karen Clausen has started her project on Riverside Drive, those 18 units. The condos, Old River condos, continue to sell. I think they're down to just a couple left, if I'm not mistaken, Trevor. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, they've sold 9 of 15, and they're working on 11 and or 10 and 11, right? Or they sold, yeah, they're working on building 14, 13 and 14, yeah.
So it is moving along, and I'm sure, I think it was Heather that indicated that Gallagher's just moving next door to Zimbaldi, which is exciting. I have stopped into Gallagher's a couple times the last few days, buying gift cards, and have spoken with a couple of them working in there. They're very excited about the potential. They see that as a real win, looking at increased business, obviously. And the credit union is open. I think that building turned out very nice. It fits the area fairly well.
This is Becky. Can I ask a question? The bank building that's behind Zimbaldi's, it's empty. Do you know if they have any, if there's any plans for that, anything going to happen to it? Because it looks like a nice building. I would hate to see it deteriorate to the point where it can't be used, you know, that it sits empty to be gone.
Whatever you want. Oh, I can give you a little update. Trevor and I, as well as Chris Clark, our parks director, we toured it. Associated Bank was willing to let us go through the building. It's a challenge if it's not going to be a bank. And that's the hard part, because it was built specifically for a bank and is not real conducive for anything else at this point. We have spoken with several potential buyers, and I think they tend to shy away once they get a little more information as far as what it would cost to do any renovations to that building. It's a shame. It is a really unique building.
And as you indicated, Becky, it is really structurally intact right now. I mean, it's a solid building for sure. It was well kept. It still is. They still keep the heat on. Associated Bank still cuts the grass and everything. So, but yeah, it is a good site. It's just the challenge is the reuse.
Have there been any other
Kind of
similar projects that you've developments at all about like the Mariner site? I know there was like that condo project and then that kind of died, and then I haven't seen anything on that one for a while, and then I want to say, was it like a year or 2 years ago, Planning Commission looked at an apartment, a potential apartment building that would have been like to the north of Somerville Building or like south of the East Building. Like, have either of those ever
came
to fruition for anything, or
are
they both just kind of fallen to the wayside at this point?
I would have to say they pretty much have fallen to the wayside at this point. those two developments particularly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there, I guess there's been really no direct reason or reason that the village could point to. It's just lack of interest, I guess. And then the only other site I wanted to bring up was the community center building. We closed on that building on Friday. So that was, I'm sure I must have shared it with you in August, but if I haven't, I apologize, but Bartolozzi Homes and Bartolozzi Real Estate acquired that property and are going to rehab it and move their offices to that location. So they're utilizing, at this time, they're utilizing tax credits, historic tax credits for the project, which is exciting, meaning that a lot of the historic integrity of the building is going to remain. Yep. So they're hoping to working at the on that this winter and then be open April-ish next year. So
from village departments, number 9.
Brett, I'll let you kind of go through the public works projects.
Sure. The engineering department will be going out for letting bids on some of the major street reconstruction projects, which includes the western half of Roselawn, Beaumont Street from St. Matthews to Green Avenue, and the eastern part of Culp Street. They are going to add a couple other projects as alternates in the event pricing comes in really, really good, but that's yet to be seen. And then we'll be doing another $500,000 out of the general fund for resurfacing of some of the roads, and I don't recall what all the roads are with that, but those all will be bid in January with the hopes of an early let will give us good pricing. The Bethel Baptist bond is completed. It's kind of cool over there. So it's number 8, I think, in the village, 7 or 8. And Trevor, you may have been going to speak on this, but there's a group funded, is it through Coastal Management, that's working on the East River, trying to come up with a better game plan for flooding concerns along the East River. And it takes it to the start of the East River all the way up to Green Bay limits, or where the East River enters the Fox River. So there's a big study that's going to go on looking at ways to mitigate future flooding. So we're part of that discussion. Trevor, myself, our parks director, and our public works director have been all involved in some meetings. We just today signed a letter of support for this funding. It's a very competitive grant process, but there are other communities involved with signing this letter of support. And hopes are that we'll be able to take care of some of the problems along the East River, which would also address additional recreational opportunities, invasive species, and flooding, obviously. So, did I miss anything on that, Trevor?
No, it's a broad scope project, looking at a lot of things, but specifically the East River, yeah.
Just to start.
Brad, who did you say was doing it? Who's the spearing this thing? Spearheading it?
It's the
go ahead, Trevor.
The Nature Conservancy received a grant to hire to have a fellowship specifically geared towards this project. So this individual they brought in, his fellowship's a year. And specifically looking at this, but I believe they received the grant funding through Wisconsin Coastal Management. I don't.
Next meeting date and future agenda items. So I don't know if you want to talk about future agenda, Trevor, that you mentioned earlier, yeah. But I think the next date for the next meeting, I think January 25th, I believe. It seems kind of late.
Yes.
It seems like dead of winter or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're correct. Mike, January 25th, and I would like to have the annual report on that meeting.
Okay.
So we'll probably be light as far as accomplishments and tasks taken care of this year, because seeing how we only met, I think, four times maybe. If anyone has any goals for 2021 that they can think of, feel free to email them to me or maybe be ready to discuss them at next month's meeting.
What were our goals for this year?
I did have that up.
The number of meetings.
Had to get through.
Let's see. I did have that up real quick.
Look at the money that the village saved by not paying us to attend all those meetings.
our recommended initiatives were to look at Webster Avenue reconstruction. Let's see. Work on developing a plan for crossings on Riverside Drive to connect to the Fox River Trail. Let's see. And then engage with other committees on different tasks. And then a lot of engagement things continue to encourage the decommission of GBCI. adopt the zoning code. So we got one there.
That's what they wanted. Nothing else matters.
Yeah. And then future tasks and initiatives included things of explore areas for a possible second TID, review consistency with comprehensive plan for development opportunities, examine multi-jurisdictional tax incremental finance districts. Sounds fancy. We have that in there. I'm not really sure of a specific location in mind for that one, but I know that's been in there for a few years now. I'll go ahead and I'll forward this to the Plan Commission when I forward the link, and we can review that.
Trevor, for another agenda item, we may want to start the initial discussions on the comprehensive plan that needs to be rewritten for the 10-year rewrite, right?
Yeah. So we, in 2023, we will be 20 years of our existing comp plan. And I think state statutes requires an update every 10 years at minimum, and then suggest doing a rewrite every 20 years. So if we assume that planning will take about a year for that, we would want to get started in 2022, which means we'll want to advocate it for the budget in July of next year. So we received a proposal from Brown County just to kind of get a general idea of what that would cost. So we certainly present that to the Plan Commission.
Anything else? Otherwise,
Mike, I failed on one of the announcements.
Go for it.
Beginning January 1st, Mr. Poehler will no longer be our zoning and planning administrator. He will be our director of planning and community development. So, change in title and responsibilities for Trevor. He's got some staff he'll be supervising. So,
congratulations.
Welcome, Trevor.
Yeah, thanks.
Congratulations.
They thank me by cutting the power to my office.
And there goes all the money we saved.
No, but Trevor's roles and responsibilities, I mean, he certainly has been working outside of a typical planning and zoning administrator. It made sense to make that adjustment.
So, thank you. Happy to grow with the village. So,
hearing no other items, need a motion to adjourn. Nobody wants to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Well, everything goes good, we'll see you on the 25th.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
Maybe one of these days we'll be able to get together again, huh?
Yeah.
Have a good one.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.